All right. Well, hey, we are starting in a new series. It's called Mature. And as I kind of thought about it, where it came from was in our mission team that we went to Student Leadership University. We read through the book of 2 Timothy, and as we were reading through it, I just got this theme of like Paul is talking to Timothy about maturity and how to grow in maturity and in spiritual maturity. And so I just feel like as we're coming, like, kind of, sort of, out of COVID and just being back together and life is taking transitions and there's new things coming and God has grown us and there's been some hard things, I feel like we just need to talk about, like, what would it look like for you to begin intentionally thinking about how do I grow in spiritual maturity? So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about spiritual maturity over the next 6 weeks. Now, maturity is one of those interesting words to define. Maturity is one of those really interesting words to define. We did an Engage class back when we were doing the Engage classes during COVID, and we did one on, it was on knowing why you believe what you believe. And one of the questions I remember we asked was, one of the first classes we did was on truth. And I remember asking people, how do you define truth? And you're like, well, I don't know. How do you define truth, right? It's one of those weird words. You're like, how do I define what truth is? And I think maturity is one of those things. You know when you see it what maturity is, but trying to define it can be more difficult. And the reason being is because a lot of times when we talk about maturity, we're not talking about the actual kind of dictionary definition of it. What we're talking about is this. If you put up a picture of a tree, we know the difference between an immature tree and a mature tree. Why? Because when it grows, it gets bigger. It grows. The leaves get bigger. All kinds of different things happen that make it a mature tree or a young tree or an immature tree. We can look at that. This tree has no emotions. This tree has no brain. It's full of all kinds of cool things that if I try to talk about it, you guys would make fun of me for years to come because I wouldn't know what I was talking about. Right? But we can easily say maturity, young or immature, and we don't necessarily mean when we say immature and we look at the small tree, we don't think it's childish. It acts childish. We're just calling it an immature tree because it hasn't grown to maturity. Go to the next one. We can do the same thing with animals. A young cow, an immature cow, or a mature cow. You can look at the difference, right? Some of you are like, oh, that's a cute cow. Cows smell terrible and they poop everywhere. Why would you want a cow? Okay, funny story. When I was a kid, I wanted a pet monkey. I was probably like 5 or 6 years. I was like 6 years old. I wanted a pet monkey, and this is what my parents did. They were wise. They said, hey, let's look at this. They said, you need to find a number, you need to call someone. The guy, I can still remember this. I was like 6 years old. I still lived in Baltimore at this time. I call this guy, and I'm like, hey, I'm looking to get a monkey. And he goes, you don't want those things. They poop everywhere, except for he used a different word. And I'm 6 years old. I'm like, bro, what's the deal here? And I was like, all right, I'm not getting a monkey. Okay, that literally just came to mind to me on stage here. Lastly, and again, we can see the difference here of mature and immature. What's like fruit, right? I mean, you look at this nice ripe tomato. Who grew tomatoes this year? Anybody grow tomatoes? Anybody else do terrible or did y'all do good? Mine did not do that well. They did great last year and then I didn't have great. But it's easy to tell the difference. But see, what we're talking about most of the time when we talk about maturity or being mature or being immature is really what we're talking about is emotional maturity. Emotional maturity. We say things like this. We say someone, you know, we think of maturity as someone going from like acting childish and silly to they begin acting more serious and adult-like. We say things like, where did I put that? We say things like they were not mature enough to handle that or they're just immature. They show a level or they show a level of maturity in their life. That's really kind of what we mean when we're talking about it. And so it's really easy to kind of picture what is maturity or what is immaturity when we look at people's lives. So just to give you a quick example of kind of what I'm talking about here, of growing in like spiritual maturity, and I think spiritual maturity can coincide with you growing in character and emotion. I think God uses all those things as we grow in spiritual maturity. But when I was out of college, and Wendy and I, we were dating and then we got married and I started going to the church she was at and started serving in the student ministry there. And it was a smaller church, but so we didn't have any like full-time staff for ministry, youth ministry. And there was a small team of volunteers. It was like five or six of us. And as we were serving, one thing that ended up happening was there was one of the volunteer leaders. He got brought on as kind of part-time working with the student ministry, and he kind of became the leader of that, which was awesome. But my immaturity was jealous. My immaturity was jealous of that. And I was like, well, why didn't I get a chance? I'm studying youth ministry. Why didn't I get a chance for that? And so I was never like outwardly mean or anything like that. I didn't really talk behind his back, but my inward maturity was not mature. I kind of never really gave him the full authority that he deserved in the way that I acted. I never really was willing to submit to him and really come beside him. I handled that situation in a really immature way. And I actually look back at that situation, and it's one of the things I'm really disappointed about. So I feel like I didn't go to the Lord. I didn't ask you, God, will you shape me in this? Like sometimes we're going to have emotions that come up. We're going to be jealous. We're going to be angry, whatever it may be, and say, God, will you help me work through this? Maturity doesn't mean we just never have any issues, or we never struggle, we're never jealous, we're never angry, whatever it may be, these emotions that come. But it means we're like, God, will you help shape me in this moment? So that's what we're going to be talking about, growing in spiritual maturity. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your table and talk about this question. How do you define maturity, and how does someone become mature? Go ahead. All right. I know you guys are going to be way smarter than I'll ever be. So hook me up with like a couple good definitions of maturity. What do we got? Making wise decisions. Okay, I like that. Yeah, growing maturity, making wise decisions. What does wise mean? Just kidding. I won't make you define that. I know people that said that was a wise decision. I'm like, bro. All right, what do we got back here? What's your name? Seth. What's your definition of maturity? Ooh, did you guys hear that? He said the ability to understand the level of a situation, how serious it is, and react accordingly. I like that. Okay. Okay, maturity is the ability to take life, knowledge, and skills and actually apply it to your life. I like that. Yeah, what do we got, Alec? The amount of growth as seen through actions. That's great. That's true. That's a good definition. I was like, well, what's growth mean? We're going to talk about that. Okay. Do we have? Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, the ability to do the right thing when no one is looking. Wow. That table was excited about that answer. Okay, I got a question for you. Raise your hand if you like being with or working with immature people. You guys are freaks and never worked before. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question, another question for you to respond to. And I want you to be serious on this question. Let me just ask it. Raise your hand if you're mature. Okay, we've got some like, I'd be like, yeah. My wife would be like, get your hand down, bro. Get your hand down. You are not mature. Now, this is odd. This is really odd. You all said you do not like to be or work with immature people, but no, most of you would not consider yourself mature. We have an issue here, right? I'm serious. I mean, I make a joke out of it to help us understand for real the real need we have to grow in maturity. Now, I know a lot of these leaders in here, I want to say a lot of them, maybe not most of them are mature. No, they're here because they have grown in spiritual maturity. Not perfect, especially I know that these leaders want to continue to grow and desire spiritual maturity. But I think this is what you guys need to see is we all start out immature, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We all start out like that. We will all grow. This is a really important point. We will all grow physically no matter what, but spiritual and emotional growth are not guaranteed. This is just true. I think it's a blank on your sheet. We'll all grow physically no matter what, but spiritual and emotional growth are not guaranteed. It is not guaranteed that you will grow in maturity both emotionally and spiritually. And you know why all of you want to work with mature people? You want to grow in maturity, but honestly, in a lot of ways, few reach a mature state is because it requires, this is a word some of you said, it requires growth. And you know what it takes to have growth in our lives, both spiritually and emotionally? It requires discipline and hard work. It requires sometimes doing things that don't come natural to us, that we really don't exactly want to do, that push against our flesh. And so maturity requires growth, and it comes through discipline and hard work. And it's really what we're going to talk about today is like, what is my aim in life? Because what my aim is, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but what my aim is will determine how I mature. Maturity is a growth process that comes as we handle life's circumstances, both the blessings and the difficulties, through faithful obedience. So here's the choice we all have. Every one of us have this choice to make. Will we grow and become mature by the way we handle life's circumstances, or will we continue to remain immature by the way we handle life's circumstances? We don't like know why some of us are going to have some life situations, circumstances that are hard or good, and why some of us will have these, but we all have the choice to decide, will I grow in maturity by the way I handle life circumstances, or will I actually continue to grow more immature by the way I handle life circumstances? Lord willing, the situation I told you about when I was volunteering in that church, Lord willing, God has shaped me through that, and it has helped me to learn how to actually act, how to grow in maturity. Now, why? Why do we want to become spiritually mature? Or why should you want to become spiritually mature? Because it's hard. We just talked about it. It's hard. And this is the reason. Because we want to be more effective and fruitful as followers of Christ. We want to be able to meet the needs of the people around us. That God says, I want to send you out into the world. How many of you were at 9 o'clock service? Okay, some of you. There's a missionary there. Well, there was a pastor of missions at Emmanuel Bible Church. He's done a lot of missions work before. And he talked about what's it like to be in the front lines, frontier missions, being in the front lines. And I was thinking about this. I was like, you know what? You guys, where we live, do you realize you are actually like almost sort of doing frontier missions when you go to school? Do you realize how many countries are represented at your schools? And so God wants you to grow in maturity so that you can actually go to where he's called you right here, right now, and be a light for him and meet the needs of the people around you. But some of us are stuck in immature states, and it's really hard for God to use us there. He wants to, but we have to be willing to grow there. So here's what I want you to talk about at your table. Do you intentionally think about becoming more spiritually mature, or do you just believe it will come in time? And kind of explain your answer. Take about 4 minutes. Go ahead. All right, whoa, sorry. Here we go, you back with me. All right, let's jump into the scripture. I wanted you to begin thinking about this idea of maturity, immaturity. Is it something that you choose? And it is, but I don't think we always think about it like this. I think we're like, well, I just kind of live life and I'll kind of grow and eventually I'll get mature. But especially spiritual maturity, It's something we choose. It's something we have to choose to want to grow spiritually mature. So the book of 2 Timothy. So you got to watch the video of it, but Paul's writing this second letter to Timothy, and he's giving him instruction, and he's challenging him to maturity because really soon Timothy, in a lot of ways, is going to be taking over Paul's spot in the early church. He's been this disciple of Paul. Paul knows he's about to die in this prison, which is just crazy to think about, but he's writing this letter to Timothy because he really wants to hand this mantle off. And man, my passion desire as your pastor and your shepherd is to go, how can I help you grow in spiritual maturity so that you, when you leave here, as you just throughout the years of high school, you can grow in maturity. But we got to go to God's word to find it. So here's what Paul writes in the first two verses, his first two sentences of the letter. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now you can see just from the beginning, Paul has this, his deep, a deep love for Timothy. He calls him my beloved child. Oh, I wanted to stop here just for a second because I want you to hear from myself, and we're going to be doing a little team teaching here. So Aaron's going to be coming over here to teach here too, and I'm going to be going to junior high. And actually, I'm pretty sure Mark Johnson's going to be teaching a message here. I want you to know that as we come to you and we kind of challenge you in these areas of maturity, that we care for you guys. Like, we don't want you just to be like good little people. And that's not what Paul wanted for Timothy. He didn't want him to just be like, well, just act good, just be good moral people. Like, that's not it. Like, we care for you. And so we want to challenge you in areas to grow. I mean, it would be a serious issue if I never helped my son grow in maturity. Case in point, I'd still be changing his diapers. And I hated that. And I'm so glad I never have to do that anymore with him. You know, one day he'll have to change mine. So it's true. But we want you guys, our passion is that you guys will be useful in the kingdom of God. And so when we kind of put these things out to you, and there's going to be some challenges throughout this thing, okay? It's not going to be always just like feel good. It's going to be like, can we challenge you to some areas of maturity in the hope and prayer that God's Holy Spirit will work in your life and grow you to maturity. So he starts out like that. And then he goes into verse 3 and he says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, and as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. So Paul, again, is just bringing this joy, this love that he has at Timothy as he begins to kind of hopefully challenge him and push him to growing in maturity. Okay, now here we go, some of the meat. Verse 5 says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Paul is reminding Timothy. He's saying this, he uses some really, really key words here. He says a sincere faith. I think he's encouraging Timothy to say, you know, this faith that has pushed you in everything that you do in your life and everything that I've done in my life, this sincere faith, that word sincere means it's genuine. It's not his mom's. It's not his grandmother's. Yeah, he heard about it from them. It's not wishful thinking anymore. It's not like, oh, we believe in Santa Claus and I also believe in Jesus. He's like, no, this is a sincere faith. And a lot of you in this room, where you are, is kind of the same place Timothy was. You've heard it from your parents, your grandparents. And now it's time for you to own it. And that's what Paul's challenging Timothy to. He's saying it's time for you to own this sincere faith that you have. Now, he says, a faith that dwelt in you and a faith that or dwelt in your grandmother and your mother, and now a faith that dwells in you. Now, here's something I want us to learn from this passage. You wouldn't initially get this, but as I was thinking through it and the idea of maturity, is what you dwell in is what you will become mature in. What you dwell in is what you become mature in. Think about it like this. We can mature or seek to be perfect in a lot of areas of life. And disciplining ourselves. If we discipline ourselves, if we practice for something, and we push ourselves. So you could say that we dwell in whatever we want to be good at. If you want to be good at sports, you dwell in sports. If you want to be good at music, you give all your time, your thought to music. If you want to be popular on social media and have a following there, you give all your time to that. If you want to be good at your job, you give all your time to that. You dwell in that. If you want to grow in biblical knowledge, you dwell in that. That's what you give your time to. So my question to you is, what do you dwell in? What do you dwell in? What motivates and pushes you to do what you are doing in life right now? And this is what it says. Whatever what you are consumed by is what you will become. What you are consumed by is what you will become. And this is going to be important because let me ask you a couple questions. Are you more consumed with your career? Possible career, or the character that God wants to build in you? Are you more consumed by sports or your spirituality? Are you more consumed with your friends or actually living by faith? Are you more consumed with, hey, I want to make money, I want to make cash, or I want to pursue Christ in everything that I do? Because what you're consumed by is what you will become. So if you look at how you spend your time, how you spend your money or your parents' money, Will you look at where your mental energy goes to? This is a huge one, what you're consumed by. Where's your mental energy? When you take those three things, that is what will tell you what you're consumed by. And this is why this is really important. Why this statement right here, what you are consumed by, what you dwell in, as he says to Timothy, the faith that dwells in you, what you dwell in is what you become. Because here's the next important statement that builds off this. Maturity is determined by your aim in life. Maturity is determined by your aim in life. And guess where your aim comes from? What you're consumed by. What you're consumed by is your aim in life, where you're going, what you're trying to do, what you want to be, where you want to go. What you are consumed by is what you will become, and your maturity is determined by your aim in life. So what is your time, your money, and your mental energy aimed at? That'll tell you where you're consumed by, and that'll tell you where you're going. For Timothy, Paul is saying, the faith dwells in you. And I think he knew that Timothy also dwelt in that faith. He allowed it to consume him. It was his life and his motivation. Now, here's the thing. This doesn't mean that you've got to like become a missionary or a pastor or a nun. Like, that's not what it means to be consumed by Jesus. It means the sports that you play, the video games that you play, the school that you go to, the homework that you do, the career, the relationship. It just means everything that you do becomes consumed by Jesus. And that's not a scary thing. That's an awesome thing. Because then you start realizing, wow, God wants to work in all these things. So ultimately, if Christ isn't dwelling in you, then your maturity will always be aiming at the wrong thing. Man, this is why a lot of people grow up physically, but never grow up spiritually or mature emotionally. Because they're so wrapped up in like, well, life's all about me getting this job. Life's all about me getting this next house. Life's all about me getting these relationships. Because their aim is off. So this, the other thing is, if you're a follower of Christ, but you're not dwelling in him, you're not allowing yourself to be consumed by him, your maturity is also going to be off. You're going to be maturing in the wrong things other than Christ. But this morning, if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as the one who came to earth, lived a perfect life, died for your sins, the sins that you could never pay for, if you've never believed that he would then rise again and give you new life, if you never believe that, your aim's always going to be off. And God's calling you to say, man, I love you so much. I want a relationship with you. I would encourage you, make that step with him today and begin letting him push the aim of your life. So here's a table question. What consumes your time, your mental energy / emotions, and money? And what does this reveal about your aim in life? Or how does this reveal what your aim in life is? Take about 4 minutes at your table to discuss that. So I hope you're starting to think about like, hey, what are the things that consume me? Because that's going to kind of tell me where my aim is in life. And do I need to begin changing direction on what I'm being consumed by so that I'm actually aiming towards Christ? And some things in your life might not change. It's just the reality of your aim and what you're actually trying to do in that situation, in that circumstance, in whatever it may be, begins to change. So he tells him, like, look, this faith that's dwelling in you. Now he says this in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of your hands, the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power of love and self-control. Now, I think this gift that he's talking about, can you go to the next slide? I think it's up there where it talks about a gift. When he's talking about this gift, the first gift, the basis of the gift that he's talking about, the gift that he's talking about is Timothy's role as a pastor and a shepherd. But the gift that gift began with the free gift of eternal life. That's where it began. And then God started working in this his Holy Spirit in Timothy to give him this gift of pastoral leadership and want to do that. And Paul's like, I got to remind you to fan into flames. How many of you guys have ever been camping and like try to build a fire? Okay, so the one thing I learned at one point is you can have flames or you can have fire. Sorry, I'm going bad here. You can have a match, a way to light it. You can even have dry wood and sort of get a fire started, but you need air. And so when I found this thing is like, you can take cardboard and like wave that thing like really fast and get a bunch of air in there. That's what hope keeps get the flame hotter and hotter. And so that's what I actually tried to look for. Have you guys ever seen those old school things you like do like this and it blows? I actually asked some people around if they had one of these. I wanted to like bring it and talk about like fanning into flames, you know. But no, I couldn't really find one. I don't think anybody uses them anymore. But he's telling Timothy, you've got to fan into flame. You've got to literally do something with the gift that God has given you. And it's the same way with you guys. The gifts that God has given you or the things that he's calling you to, he's like, to grow in maturity in those, you got to do something with them. You can't just let them stay stagnant. When we just think about some ways that we could walk in faithful obedience to God and grow in maturity, there are things that we always talk about, but we have to actually fan them into flames and say, I'm actually going to do them. You know, it's been really interesting. A lot of you have been tracking along with us after summer camp, reading through the book of Acts and taking some of the challenges and actually doing them. And it's really funny. God's been speaking to you. It's like a revelation. But it's because you were fanning into flames. You're like, Lord, I want to meet you there. I want to actually do it. So this means we actively choose to walk by faith. Now, we intentionally choose to do things all the time. Some of you that are in football or band right now, you are intentionally choosing to grow in maturity in those areas. You have given yourself to two-a-days. You have given yourself to long practices, all these different things. You are choosing to grow in maturity in that, whether you realize it or not. And so in our spiritual life, we choose to say, God, I want to actually go to you and seek wisdom. Will you give me wisdom? I'm going to talk to you. Lord, I want to actually read your word and meditate on it and not just be a checklist, but to hear from you. Lord, I want to actually share my faith with my friends. I want to have spiritual conversations. I want to serve other people. I want to use my time for God's glory and not my own. I want to go to the Lord for help in difficult situations instead of just trying to deal with them how I've always dealt with them. Like, I just start fanning those things into flames, and as I start listening to the Lord, he starts speaking to me, and I start actually growing in maturity because I'm listening to him. But here's my question. I always want to talk about the why, especially if we're going to start this whole series on spiritual maturity, the why. Why do I choose to follow Christ and grow and mature in my faith when it's easier not to? I mean, let's be honest. It's easier not to. It's a whole lot easier for me to not want to be mature and not handle things with maturity. Paul knows Timothy is thinking the same thing. You know why? Paul is writing from a jail cell. If I was teaching to you from a jail cell right now, would you really be like, do I really want to follow this guy? And Paul knows that's what Timothy's thinking. A lot of people have deserted Paul at this point because he's in jail for sharing his faith. And they're like, I don't know if we really want to be connected with this guy. And he knows Timothy has some fear about what's happening together. So I want to do something we don't always do. We're going to stand together. We're going to actually read something together. So go ahead and stand. We're going to read 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 12. And now, here's what I want to tell you. Why are we reading this out loud together? Because this is the answer to why we would actually desire to grow in maturity and in faith and follow Christ. Here we go. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life, immortality to light through the gospel, for which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Amen. All right, you can sit down. So, like, why would we choose to grow in maturity? Because Paul's like, I know what I've believed, and it's the truth. And I've seen God work in my life. These leaders can share. God's worked in their lives, and they've seen it in their lives. They're convinced of the truth of the Bible. And some of you are like, hey, I'm not convinced. And I want to pray for you and say, Lord, I pray that you would help them to be convinced of this, because it's the truth. It matches up to reality. And so we intentionally choose to follow Christ because he said we have a holy calling. That word holy means set apart. We're set apart for God to be these lights for him. And he said in verse 10, which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus has abolished this spiritual death when he died on the cross. There's now no more separation between God and man. That's what God sends us out in the world, to tell people that, to say you can be reconnected to God, your creator. He can change the aim of your life. And so that is why we're saying, Lord, I want to be a part of that. And so God, part of me is I need to grow in maturity in my life. And so for this reason, we intentionally choose to live for Jesus Christ, even though it might be difficult, even though it might bring some suffering, because of the good news of the gospel. So lastly, he says in verse 13, follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells with us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Paul is asking Timothy, saying, will you guard, will you actively guard this good deposit, this truth that is the gospel of Jesus? He's saying, will you guard it with your life? We will only spiritually mature when we understand what our aim is supposed to be, that it's supposed to be Christ and this good deposit that he has given to us. So here's my final couple questions to you, is this: maturity is determined by our aim in life. Where is your aim? That will determine how you grow, where you grow. What are you consumed by? Will you allow Jesus to consume your life? And so my question is this: are you willing to allow Jesus to mature and grow you? He wants to do it for your good. He wants to grow you. But know this, maturity is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. My passion as your shepherd is to see you grow in maturity this year. We want to equip you with the knowledge and the tools to be able to grow in that maturity. So there's one last question here, and I'll close this right at the end. Are you willing to allow Jesus to mature and grow you? I know it takes a little bit openness here. You got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.